Holy smokes. What was that song called, Jennifer?
That was Fall in Love Tonight by Prince.
Why wouldn't you? Oh. It is a couple minutes after 8 o'clock. Cellist Rebecca Ahrens and her quartet String Genius are in town to perform at Pacoima Golf Course's Centennial Celebration Saturday night at 7 o'clock. It's a free concert. And she joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
You were dancing down the hallway. You saw that, Jennifer, didn't
did.
You?
So
son of a gun.
Explain to us why you sent us this Prince song, but why was that?
Well, this was a part of a project that String Genius did. String Genius is a quartet. It's also a group of musicians that I curate. And this was one of many recording sessions that we did with Prince. My partner in String Genius is an arranger, Adi Ashaya. He did the arrangements for that song that featured Minneapolis String Genius strings and horns from the Hornheads.
So how does that, when you say arrange it, how, I'm always amazed at how that even happens, putting all this together. Does it like take forever? Or?
Actually, it usually has to happen really quickly, especially with Prince. He would say, okay, I need something tomorrow. So,
because he was a hard worker.
Absolutely. And he loved to have lots of local musicians on his tracks. So what would happen is he would send the band playing the song and the vocals, and Adi would just create the string parts from scratch. Michael Nelson with the Hornheads would create the horn arrangements. And, you know, it could be the next day we're just in the studio laying down the tracks.
And take us inside that studio. What happens? You got to be making mistakes. There's new stuff. Is this working? Is this not working?
Well, the great thing about recording is you can always do it again.
Yeah.
But this is something all these musicians are, you know, they're professionals. They're used to doing this, just reading stuff down. It's actually a whole lot of fun, the process, when you're in the studio.
Yeah, and you've had some gigs with some other kind of famous people, haven't you?
Well, it certainly is a variety of things when you're a freelance musician. You do have the opportunity to do a lot of different things. I am a classically trained cellist, but I love to play all kinds of music. So with String Genius, I have the opportunity to do that. I think some highlights of the last, you know, recently, had a wonderful concert with a dear friend and colleague, Jonathan Brooke, who's mm-hmm. a singer-songwriter, and we actually performed at the Rife Center a couple of years ago, and that was wonderful. We also have played all around the country. A highlight maybe last year, Stevie Wonder. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Ed Sheeran, Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And now you're going to be playing Pacoima Golf Course.
When's the last time you played a golf course?
This is a first for this type of thing, and we're really excited to be doing a concert up in Grand Rapids. And I just have to say that this area to me is very special. I've been coming up here starting from when I was a kid. I lived in Massachusetts, and we used to drive 2 days out here because my mom grew up coming up to Grand Rapids in the summers. And so as a kid, I started coming up here. And it's not until recently that I had the opportunity to make music here, which is really meaningful to me because this is one of my favorite places. And it's just recently that I've been able to make music here. So
beautiful.
I'm really grateful for that.
So I had this conversation with you before. I want you to repeat it. Tell us about how you, we got to know how you started. I mean, you just don't grab a cello, do you? I mean, how did it work for you?
Well, I was in public elementary school in Massachusetts, and I was lucky enough to be offered the opportunity to play. There was a gentleman who was a father of one of my friends who was starting a youth orchestra, and he brought in violin, viola, cello, showed them to the kids. I think it's second grade. All my friends ran over to the violin, and I looked the other way, and I saw that cello sitting there, and I thought, that's beautiful, and no one else is doing that, so I'm gonna do that. So I brought it home. My parents were like, well, that's big. But they were actually delighted. But,
wow.
So.
And you've been in love with the cello ever since.
I have, and this reminds me of a plug that I would like to make for the Itasca Orchestra, Itasca Strings an orchestra program, which is a wonderful new development in the area. When I was up here with String Genius Quartet playing a concert, this last January, we had the opportunity to work with the kids involved in that program before we gave our concert. And it is just a wonderful thing that's going on here. So any of you out there who are interested, whether your kids are interested, they have lessons for adults. It's just a wonderful thing at the Rec Center.
And I was fortunate enough to attend that concert, and I didn't know anything about you. Not necessarily a gigantic classical type person. And you guys just blew me away. I mean, seriously, I was stunned at how good you were. And I can't wait to hear you again.
What can I ask you what you liked about it particularly?
Well, first of all, you're magnificent performers, but what I liked about it is you could play some, you play a classical song and then you play a modern song. It's like, whoa, because I was expecting a night of classical music.
Right.
And I would have loved that because it's so special and it takes such talent. But man, I was just moving to the modern stuff. And like Taylor Swift and what other modern...
Well, I think we threw in some Beyonce and some Queen. I think we did a little Bob Dylan. We like to mix it up. It's a lot of fun for us.
Yeah.
And...
You ended it with a Dylan song, I think.
Yeah, I think Girl from the North Country.
Yeah, very emotional.
Yeah.
And what else I liked is your rapport. I mean, obviously you've worked together, but you four ladies just hit it off. It's really cool. And
we do
I'm
have
very,
fun.
Very excited to have you perform tonight. And it's a free concert. And just, if you're like me, you aren't sure if you like classical, when you leave the golf course tomorrow, you will like this type of music. It's exceptional, really.
We're really excited that you felt that there should be live music at this event because that's the most fun for us. And when doesn't one need live music?
Yeah, for sure. How often do you practice?
Well, every day.
For how long?
Well, okay. It's summer.
Take a little break.
There are days when you need to go fishing.
Yep.
So... it really depends on the project that's going on and how much, you need to prepare. So anywhere between an hour to, many hours.
And are you with your quartet all the time? I mean, so how do you prepare for this one?
So we're all practicing individually and we have a set repertoire that we are keeping under our belt. And then we would rehearse, one or two times before each performance, because these are things we've done before. So we each are practicing more time alone, probably, for this type of thing.
So what was it like to perform at the Target Center at midcourt with a light flashing down on you, playing for Flip Saunders, basically is his, ceremony of his life?
That was a unique experience. I felt very small standing next to those basketball players.
Yeah.
It was really special. I mean, it sounds funny to say that you were sitting center court playing the cello, but it was for a very meaningful event, and it meant a lot to me that they thought there should be cello there.
Yeah. So when you were back in school and you chose the cello, what is the greatest difference? This is ignorance. What's the greatest difference between a violin and a cello? Is it just it's the size, obviously, but sound as well?
The size, the sound. The strings, there are a lot of similarities in the way the instrument works. Obviously, you hold a violin under your chin, and mm-hmm. cello, you sit down to play. The cello has an enormous range because it goes so low, but you can also play very, very high.
It's so rich.
The cello is better.
Yeah. Do you tell that to your three other friends?
Well, actually, usually you make fun of the violist. You got the viola jokes. That's usually what you have.
So who's going to be performing tomorrow with you?
We have Hannah Kennedy on first violin, Jill Olson-Moser on second violin, and Ina May on viola, and myself on cello.
Oh, so it's going to be 7:00. It's a free concert. We're speaking with cellist Rebecca Ahrens, and I highly encourage you to come out tomorrow and just listen to some fabulous music. It's I've already got goosebumps on my arms thinking about it.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks to KAXE for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yep. See you there.
String Genius, 7:00, Pacagama Golf Course in Grand Rapids. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Recently, federal funding for all public media was cut. Besides those federal cuts, KXE has also received cuts from the state of Minnesota for programming you love. We wanted to hear from listeners why they think it's important to show their support for KXE right now.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm a supporter of KAXE, and we have lived in 50 Lakes area for about 3 years and loved the music and the news and all the northern radio shows, and it's become vitally important to us in the car and at home to get our news and music from KAXE. So that's why we feel it's important to keep you guys on the air as long as you want to be on the air. So
make your donation now to help KAXE stay on the air. Go to our website, kaxe.org, and click the word donate.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the Sports Page. Jennifer Barr, is across from me. Fred Freeman's in the car going to Esquagama to golf, Fred, or legal issues?
No, golf.
Oh, man, I haven't played there since I was like ninth grade.
I know, a long time. I play there like once every 4 years. As you know, they have different sets of tees that are like 110 yards from each other.
Yeah.
Different places.
So cool. So cool. Almost as cool as attending a Twins game last night or the night before.
Oh my gosh. Yesterday afternoon, I went to a Twins game. It was 6-0 in the top of the second, long way. They are brutal. It's not AAA baseball. It's AA baseball. May as well watch the Duluth Huskies or something.
What was it like? They said 21,000. I can't believe that. Was there 21,000 there?
Yeah. Oh, here's the trick. They gave 10,000-12,000 tickets away to children because it's right before school starts, right?
Yeah.
You know? So that's the gift, which is nice, you know. And then, of course, these poor kids are eating $12 hot dogs.
So. Well, were you able to move around and get a better seat than you thought you had?
Oh, that was the second row. How's that? Second row.
Well, at least you got to do that.
So that is because, oh my gosh! But and of course, I cannot figure out what has happened to Royce Lewis. He's not even major. Look, what happened, John?
I don't know. He's mentally, he's lost it, and it can happen to anybody. It can happen to golfers. It can happen to football players. You know, the other day, Kershaw forgot how to throw the baseball. He just lost it. The mental part of the game is one of the most important things for athletes, and he has lost it, and he actually did lose it. I don't know where you were sitting, but he went in the clubhouse, and he took it out on his helmet, and he doesn't use
it. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, so and then we got people they don't even know, and here's a question I want to ask you, Fred, because you're a smart guy. So Lopez, our pitcher, is making his debut, so he's on an assignment at AAA St. Paul. Who cares? Why don't they have him have do his 40 pitches in a game in the National? Why do they do that?
Excellent point. I do not understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand about them. Now there's articles in the morning that the Twins, what if they cut their payroll even more?
Yeah.
So I mean it. I'm looking for, I called our senior advisor, but he doesn't, our senior writer, but he doesn't call back. And I'm looking for another Midwest team to root for, right? But then you got in to get into MLB.com and figure out how to see the games.
Well, aren't the Brewers the best team
are doing good, yeah.
Yeah, and good point. And they're the closest team, right? It's only 400 miles down the road, you know?
So, Fred, I asked you this last week, Fred. What can we expect out of the Twins moving forward? I understand that the pull, like they're supposed to be $400 million in debt. I don't understand that. But can we expect to have a decent baseball team in 5 years, 4 years? What's going to happen?
Maybe 5 or 6 years if they draft intelligently. You know, that's the key. If they, and so far they haven't. I mean, this is somebody that drafted Larnach and Wallner and Miranda, you know what I mean? Back-to-back top choices. So, yeah, we'll see. But I think it's going to be a long way from now. Thank goodness for the Lynx. And here's the key. Look how excited the Vikings, people are about the Vikings over preseason nonsense.
Yeah.
You know? That shows how they've given up on the Twins. Thank goodness for the Lynx. That's what I guess.
Yeah, we'll move on to the links in a bit, but Fred, I'm so proud of you. I mean, you're just like me. You're a fan. You're going to go. You're still curious about the guy that was, single A 2 weeks ago and he got called up. I almost wish they'd bring up some of these young guys. I know it's going to cost them money and all that stuff, but why not at the end of the year? I think maybe they will bring up some of these potential people like really late in the year, don't they? Traditionally, kind of?
Could be.
If they're not in it.
Number one. Yeah. Could be. You never know, you know. But, of course, that makes them moves up their major league seniority date, you know, by a week or two.
Yeah. Okay,
I would definitely like to see him do it.
Let's move on. And I don't know if I brought this up. Did I bring this up? I'm losing a little bit. But I went and watched. Tell you about the 8-and-under baseball team I went and watched? Did we talk about
that?
So I live by a field in where there's multiple baseball fields, and I go watch these little kids play. Fred, this is serious now. Some people are going to probably get upset with me, but it's the coach in me. I watched an 8-and-under because I asked one of the coaches, what age is this? It's 8-and-under baseball. And they went through three batters, all right? Three young kids batting, the pitcher's pitching, and they threw at least 25 pitches to this batter, and he couldn't touch it. Next bat, and then they finally brought out the tee. Next batter up, 25 pitches, and then they brought out the tee. The outfielders, the kids are throwing their gloves up in the air. They're laying down. And from a coaching standpoint, I'm thinking, why don't they just work on fundamentals? Why don't they just do this? If a kid misses 10 in a row, make them hit it off a tee. I just wonder about coaching youth at youth levels. Are we so much into the excitement of a game and how Tommy or Sally can participate and do good in a game? But this, they would never hit the ball. And then when they hit the ball, they didn't know what to do because they weren't even prepared. What should we be doing? Fundamentals?
Yes. I'm for more fundamentals. Give them something positive to think about. I want pitching machines throwing 20 miles an hour or adults throwing to them. You get nothing good out of swinging and missing or pitchers throwing it into the dirt. I mean, I don't even believe the pitchers should be in Little League till they're 10 years old, frankly, maybe 11. And it's the same thing, John, in basketball.
Yep.
Where they used to have summer camps to fundamentals, and now they roll out the ball and say, here, play. That's called teaching? No way.
Yeah, it's okay to have a non-organized, like those kids that are playing that game with coaches in the fields and stuff like that. That's okay. But when kids go on their own, they can do whatever they want, creative. But when it's structured like that, somehow we got to get it where they can learn more than instead of sitting in the outfield for literally for a 15-minute at-bat for one individual. It's puzzling. And I know the coaches are trying their best, and I just don't know what the answer is. But when Johnny swings 25 times and misses, something else has to happen. And I think here's my thought. It's like wrestling. They don't want to raise the kid's hand because it makes the kid feel bad. But if you miss 20 or 30 pitches in a row, something's got to happen to make you feel good or bad. Do you remove Tommy or do you bring the tee out and then have him hit it and at least he did something?
Put it on the tee, let him make contact with the ball, and teach him which way to run on the bases.
Yeah, right? Yeah, which direction to go, yeah. Anyway, that's just a coaching thing for me, and I know parents, it's just a difference. Sports are just different right now. But I commend you for going to the Twins game, Fred. I'm very proud of you, and do you think you're going to go to any more?
I am. I have friends of my older son are coming in from Cleveland, and I bought tickets for the 20th September game way back in February when I thought this was going to be an important game, right? Then I got excited because of a rainout, and they made it a doubleheader.
Oh.
So there's three people. So here's really a generous dad. I'm not bringing my friends to the game. I'm bringing my son's friends, right? So, yeah. So I'm for one of these. Here's a new invention they didn't have when we were kids. Split doubleheaders. I never heard that word when I was a kid, right?
Yeah. Split, and yeah.
Getting two admissions, folks. So, yeah. So I'm, yeah, so I got two more in me. But I bought a partial season ticket package at the end of the year, 15 seats, 15 games. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm not gonna use it. But anybody wants to call in or email me or email the station and suggest the team to root for, I am wide open.
Well, we can root for the Lynx, but the Lynx are struggling. They've lost two in a row.
Yeah, close games. What's that all about? Is that just injuries, or is there more to that?
I think it's just not having Collier. That's the difference maker in every one of these losses. And what is going on with her? What is wrong with her? Is her back?
I don't know.
She's been out forever, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody can email in or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's not good. And they got to maintain, my opinion, if they want to win the championship, they have to maintain all those home court advantages.
Yeah.
Because look what happened in Madison Square Garden last June.
Yeah.
Just look what happened.
Yeah, that was kind of ugly. Fred, one more thing. I would be curious to know if the attendance at the Saints AAA has gone up or gone down. I know the Twins have gone down, but I just wonder how the whole package works out.
Yeah, it's gone up some because St. Paul downtown has their own commercial problems, as we know. But, yeah, it's gone up some because tickets are inexpensive and there's not a bad seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's gone up some, and of course the Twins are saving a fortune by not flying these players across America in from Rochester, New York.
Yeah, no kidding. But remember, the Poleds are $400 million in debt, so that's not helping them at all.
Yeah, I'm really depressed for them. I feel terrible for them.
So what are your thoughts on the Vikings? And Jennifer, I don't know if you're a football fan. What are your thoughts on the Vikings, Fred? I know it's all useless spring training, but... We got rid of Phillips, which was kind of interesting. Our lineman.
Which looks like a salary dump move. I think they got to feel really good about some of their young defensive linemen to do that. Plus, they're trying to save money. I don't know if they got a backup quarterback that they can count on. Howell's a terrible season. Just terrible.
Huh?
And then the other thing they got to worry about is they got wide receivers hurt. Suspended and all kinds of problems. And when Naylor has a hand injury and he hasn't been at practice for 2 weeks and they're not disclosing exactly what's wrong, that's usually bad.
Yeah.
So look for them to buy or grab somebody off the wires, a wide receiver or two.
And I think they start off the Chicago Bears pretty soon. I think that's their first game, which is kind of rare.
Yeah, which is on a Monday evening, which is even rarer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no kidding. What's that, Jennifer? You got a little note?
Yeah. We received two texts about Collier and the injury. It's a sprained ankle.
Sprained ankle.
Scott Hall says out for 2 weeks.
She's been out for at least 2 weeks prior already. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
That's hurting her. Well, at least they'll get her back. They'll be going. Fred, anything else? It's kind of, like we said, it's kind of the dog days. Football starting. Got the WNBA baseball.
Yeah, that's about it. Pretty soon we'll be talking about whether the Gophers are going to be, a team, that's interesting, whether they're going to be competitive or not. I will say this. For the first time in many years, we have a couple of athletes from KAXE territory,
mm-hmm.
more than hockey, which is great, but more than hockey, who are Division I getting a lot of press. The Gophers got a major basketball player, a starting guard, and a sum up from the range. And of course, you got Kai Parrish from ESCO, KAXE land. And the University of North Carolina women's basketball team is playing Zupic, also from Mountain Iron. So that's three Division I players, big time, from KAXC land.
Yeah,
that's always good.
That's pretty cool. And the young guy that is going to also, they're going to try him on offense this year for the Gophers. So, you know, they got the talent. Let him go do it because he's not going to be around for 4 years.
No, just so he doesn't get hurt, right? Yeah.
So Jennifer,
the joke is he's the wealthiest guy in Esco, and he's 19.
Yeah. So Jennifer is pretty excited about these trivia from Scott. So it's just you and me, awesome. Fred, and I'm going to lose my butt.
Let's go.
Okay. This week's theme, sports idioms used in everyday languages. For example, something easily understood or done is called a slam dunk. And from boxing, making the best of adversity is rolling with the punches.
Oh, boy.
So, number one, where something surprising or unexpected comes from?
Out of right field.
Out of left field.
Left field.
Either field.
Yep.
Either.
Good one.
A member of a group who fails to carry out their part of a task is said to have done what?
Let the team down.
No, that's not. Yeah, that's too easy.
If you fumble during football, you
turn the ball over. Turnover.
You maybe dropped the ball.
Oh, dropped the ball. Okay, he dropped. Yeah. All right. These are okay.
Okay, Scott said these will be easy. So you know, it's up to you guys. It means the next move is up to you.
You're up to bat.
Think tennis.
Ball's in your court.
There we go.
Oh, I don't get these.
Changing the rules or requirements while a project or competition is still in progress. You would be moving the, football.
I don't know that one.
These aren't working in my brain cell. What is it?
Moving the goalposts.
Oh,
you've heard of that, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. An unexpected winner. Think from horse racing.
Cinderella. No.
George Harrison song.
George Harrison song. Fred, you should know this.
Sure. Yeah, I should. A dark horse.
A dark horse. There we go.
Yeah.
An act of accepting defeat or quitting. Think boxing.
Throw the towel in.
Yep.
Throw the towel.
In horse racing, when the outcome was uncertain until the very last moment, it went...
By a nose.
Went down to the...
Tape? No, to the...
Wire.
The wire, yeah.
Very near failure or defeat from boxing.
Very near failure.
Near fit.
You are on the...
Rope?
Yep. On the mat.
On the ropes.
Okay.
From golf, something that is expected. It's what?
Par for the course.
There we go. Okay, final one. From hunting, and you are holding on to the wrong person or idea. Think dogs.
Wrong end of the leash? I don't know.
Barking up the wrong
dogs.
Tree.
Hey, those are hard, Scott Hall.
Those are very hard. He probably had weeks to plan them, so he thinks it's easy. This is not easy stuff on the fly.
No.
And Fred, I hope that one term works good for you. Par for the course today at Esquagama. Have fun.
I will. No matter what, I will have fun.
All right, Fred. So, thanks a lot. See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, bye-bye.
For sure. Bye.
Those were not easy.
Let's take that up with our senior correspondent.
No, I love it. I love it. He's changing gears a little bit. There's nothing wrong
with
that.
There you go. Another sports thing.
Changing gears. We would like to thank the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. A lot has changed in the past year. The speed limit has not. Speeders can expect to be stopped. Please slow down. Extra speed patrols now on Minnesota roads. I want to thank Lake Country Journal, a local lifestyle magazine, sharing stories about places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country. More at lakecountryjournal.com.
Temperatures right now range from 64 in Bemidji to 69 in Brainerd. It's gradually becoming partly cloudy by this afternoon with highs 77 to 80, winds from the west-northwest 5 to 20, partly cloudy tonight, lows near 53, and northwest winds up to 20. And tomorrow, partly sunny and cooler, high 62 to 67 with breezy northwest winds. Support comes from Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Bemidji. Huff's congregation strives to build bridges with the community and welcomes all to seek truth, practice love, and celebrate life. Learn more at headwatersuu.org. Coming up at 9 o'clock, DJ Dang is your host for Headwaters, your source for great music. And then 10 o'clock, Minnesota Mixtape with Malachi Coons. At 11, the World Cafe. And at 1 o'clock, live from the Minnesota State Fair, Kari Hedlund and Malachi Coons on the river.
I'm going to try and hit you with one of these trivia things. So what happens if you just did something at the last second? It was the
buzzer beater.
No.
Down to the, where you did down to the wire.
It's not necessarily a sports one.
Oh.
Just in the
nick of time.
There you go. Nice job.
It's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has confirmed the invasive algae starry stonewort in four more lakes. This includes three in northern Minnesota: Garfield Lake near LaPorte in Hubbard County, Gull Lake 1 mile west of Ten Strike in Beltrami County, and Three Island Lake near Turtle River, also in Beltrami. Starry stonewort was found in these lakes during the recent Starry Trek event in early August. The annual event sees county and state staff and volunteers searching lakes for starry stonewort and other aquatic invasive species. Starry stonewort is usually identified by the star-shaped, white, bulb-like structures on the plant. These typically become visible in late summer. It can form dense mats, which can interfere with recreational uses of a lake and compete with native plants. Wild rice season technically opened over a week ago, but harvesting is still a ways out. Wet weather has created unique conditions this year. Megan Buffington has more.
Jordan Williams wouldn't go so far as to call this year a bumper crop, but he will say the rice is looking really, really nice.
Really thick, tall rice. If you know of any other place that, you know, typically has wild rice, it's probably going to have just a little bit more this year.
Williams is a wildlife biologist for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Department of Natural Resources. The rice is looking much better than it has in recent years, when drought has limited harvests and low water meant you couldn't reach the stands that did do well. That's one advantage of all the rain this summer.
This year is something that I haven't really noticed before, ever. My experience where we've had enough water to get just about anywhere you need to, and then you still have just a, you know, a really, really thick rice bed.
The Minnesota DNR's Wild Rice Outlook promises similar success for many ricers, though high water and summer storms did impact some stands. The DNR reminds ricers that it's illegal to harvest green rice. He has a couple more reminders.
Make sure, you know, you come with all, prepared with all your safety equipment, life jackets, and cell phone. Make sure people know where you're at. Making sure that you know, you're going out there and harvesting in a respectful way.
Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
Nearly 120 acres of land will become part of the Namaji State Forest south of Cloquet, thanks to a donation from the Trust for Public Land. The DNR received the land donation from the nonprofit after it acquired parcels bordering the forest from private property owners using grants from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. The parcel added to the forest features mixed hardwood and protects wildlife habitat in an area valued for outdoor recreation. A news release says the acquisition also supports watershed protection, provides the opportunity for better forest management, and safeguards land from fragmentation due to development. Four projects in northern Minnesota gain support from the Urban Agriculture Grants from the Minnesota Department of Ag. These competitive grants aim to promote youth agricultural education and agriculture-connected community development. The Boys and Girls Club of the Bemidji area will revitalize the club's garden space. They will begin a new curriculum, capture rainwater to eliminate flooding, add a pollinator garden, and develop a plan to build sustainability into the program. The Headwaters Regional Development Commission in Bemidji will revitalize the Conifer Estates Community Garden. The Northwestern Minnesota Juvenile Center in Bemidji will provide hands-on agricultural opportunities to the youths housed there. They will restore a greenhouse with utilities, create a fenced-in space to add more garden beds, and purchase equipment. Hermantown Community Schools will develop a learning garden. The garden is intended to expose kids from pre-kindergarten through 5 years old to the growth cycle and the process of growing food. Nashua Kewatin is gathering input on the future of a historic school mural. The mosaic in the old high school library was built in the 60s, according to the 2003 Nashua Centennial Book. The 105-square-foot mosaic is made of some 15,000 Venetian glass tiles from Italy. It depicts the history of the area, including mining and railroad imagery and a church, schools, and other historic structures. Nashua Kewatin is moving into its new school this fall. That's where the listening session about the mural will be at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You can find more local news stories and conversations at kaxe.org and hear the latest edition of the Up North Report today at 5:30 during All Things Considered here on KAXE.
The Hubbard County Historical Society invites you to an opening celebration for the new Park Rapids History Trail Friday. That's today. From 1 to 3, the trail tells the story of the Park Rapids through 23 different sites. Find more at prhistorytrail.org. Ed Center Gallery in Big Fork presents Art on the Edge, the 19th annual juried exhibit going on now through August, and the 19th annual White Oak Tractor Show, the 23rd and the 24th, Saturday and Sunday, 1 mile north of Deer River on Highway 6. Each day will feature a pancake breakfast and a parade, as well as demos throughout the day, raffle for the 1947 Farmall tractor, and a farmer's market free and open to all.
Support for KAXE comes from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
Also want to thank the IM Hotel in Grand Rapids, providing amenities like their large parking lot suitable for trailers and boats, and offering fresh baked breakfast items each day. Additional information available at imhoteltimberlake.com.
This weekend on Stay Human, we're going to hear about a pop-up art show that happened last week, Words as Buried Seeds. We'll hear from organizers and others about that scene. John, you were involved in that?
With the what?
Words as Buried Seeds, the pop-up art show on, you talked to Michael Goldberg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Coming up Saturday morning at 9, Sunday at 5. Coming up at 9 o'clock, as I mentioned, DJ Dang, your host for Headwaters, and then it's Minnesota Mixtape with Malachi Coons at 10 o'clock. You can also hear that show Saturday afternoons at 3. We're going to hear some music now from Jeremy Albino. He is one of our performers at this year's Grand Rapids River Fest. It is just 2 weeks from tomorrow, coming up so fast.
Yeah, no kidding. And it seemed like it was so far away when we started reading these.
Yeah.
And it's here.
And we are excited to welcome Courtney Barnett, Margo Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Find your tickets. More information at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. This festival goes on right next door to KAXE Studios at the Grand Rapids Area Library Amphitheater. We want to thank our friends there for letting us take over their space for a few days as we prepare for it and have the festival and clean up from the festival. So, great time, great location. You can see pictures of that venue and more at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. And we're going to hear a song from Jeremy Albino. This one's from his album that came out late last year, Our Time in the Sun. This one's called Dinner Bell.
Down, down you go. looks like all races run. I hear the dinner bell. So long, fare thee well. Somebody stole, somebody lied. Well, I told you, you better keep yourself satisfied. Some you alone, while you're in the bound. All the lies are dead for to keep you alive.
Yeah, that is Jeremy Albino from his late 2024 album, Our Time in the Sun, which was produced by Dan Auerbach, member of the Black Keys. And you can kind of hear that vibe there. And he's going to be part of Grand Rapids River Fest, Jeremy Albino. And I can just hear that song reverberating mm-hmm. off the banks of the Mississippi River on Saturday, September 6th. We're kicking the day off at 3 o'clock with Alan Sparhawk, then Jeremy Albino, then Margo Price and Courtney Barnett. We hope to see you there. Tickets and more information at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com.
It's going to be a great day, as it always is. It's just a community vibe, good feeling vibe, mm-hmm. great music, wonderful stage, replay, you know, giant screens, which is something that was added after a while because, you know, if you're sitting far away, it's hard to see them. And now they have the giant screens, so everything's good. Get your tickets. See you there.
We got a message from Linda, who said, I wanted to let you know there's an open house at the Brandenburg Gallery on Sunday between 2 to 4 to honor the lives of Jim Brandenburg and his son Anthony. And the Brandenburg Gallery is in Ely, so we thank you for that information. Also, earlier on What's for Breakfast, we talked to Ted, who was calling in from the Boundary Waters. And we heard from Bill from Wabana, who said, interesting and fun to listen to the What's for Breakfast from the Boundary Waters. Yeah. However, it's kind of sad that there is cell phone and internet availability now in the wild. Back in the old days, we sometimes went without even taking a watch and just went by the sun.
Oh, my gosh,
but I understand that those days are gone.
Times are changing. I think there's a song about that.
That has been around for a while.
For a while. We would like to thank The Forge in Grand Rapids, offering a space where students, entrepreneurs, and workers can bring their ideas to evolve into products, careers, and businesses, building a culture of innovation and diversity in the heart of Itasca County. Learn more at theforgeitasca.org, where ideas take shape. Speaking of ideas, Jennifer, kind of an off the wall, that message made me think of this. Did you ever have a crazy idea that you thought maybe would make you rich? Like an invention?
When I was in elementary school, 2 years, I did this thing. I don't remember what it was called, but I was in this little program called Discovery, and we participated in this like national invention thing, and then they'd be on display at school. So my first year I did this, I made what is called Shrink-A-Shelf.
Shrink-A-Shelf?
Shrink-A-Shelf, because I had books, and they were always falling over, like chapter books, and you know, I had bookends, but even then, you took a book out, the books would fall over. And so I had my dad really helped me with this a lot, but
that's all right.
It had springs on the side, and it had boards that it was a shelf with, you know, just made out of some simple boards, and then the springs would come in to keep your books tight from falling over.
Yeah. Yes. Did anybody pick it up? Did you?
No, I never patented it or anything. It was just, it was a school thing.
And I think when you have to patent something, it costs so much money and it takes so much work to get there.
I don't remember like if the prize like of this competition, because I think it was like a national thing. I don't know if like the prize was maybe getting your thing patented or something, but no, there every year there'd be like on display at school these kids with their ideas. And then the second year I did it, it was not as good.
Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what I called it, but it was basically a bar of soap with a handle screwed into it.
What? Like
with actual screws.
So you didn't have to touch the soap to scrub yourself?
So you could hold on to the handle and not lose the soap was the idea. And I don't remember what it was.
I think that whoever that class was or what, I think that's brilliant to get people thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a little program that just during the school day, you know, a gifted, talented thing. I don't want to say that, you know, but yeah, it was called Discovery, thanks to Mrs. Knick. Mrs. Knick was awesome of taking kids and just letting their imaginations go. And
Do you remember how she kind of was nice to you about your soap thing that maybe wasn't so exciting? Was she very good? This is very nice, Jennifer.
She had ways of you know, saying, well, what else, how else could you, you know, what else could you do with this? but I was very proud of that shrink-a-shelf, and also thanks so much to my dad for really like coming through on that one and getting the supplies and, you know, actually making my idea happen. Cause I came up with the springs, you know, that was my idea. And
wood?
Yeah. Wood. And then he had some pretty tight, you know, springs. But the thing was, you still had to have the right number of books in there. Cause if you didn't have very many books, they were still gonna fall over because it couldn't go in all the way.
I see. Well, that makes sense because you don't just have one book on a bookshelf. So you guys were on the right path.
I had my Babysitter's Club books collection, which at that point was probably like, I don't know, 30 books or something. I was very into those.
I've had millions of ideas. I'm an idea guy, but nothing ever happens about it. But one time, and I had Aaron Winger helping me with this. When you go to a golf course and you're playing a hole, there's a flag.
Mm-hmm.
And people, when you hit a ball on the green, you make a dent. It's called a pitch mark. And people are lazy. They won't bend over and fix that mark. They're big dents in greens. And they do make ball fixers. Like if you go practice on a green, you can take this machine that it's got teeth and it pushes and pulls, so it fixes that divot. So my goal was to make that divot fixer be at the bottom of the pin so that when you're golfing, you would pull it out of the hole, and while you're standing around, you could use the pin as your lever to punch it.
Yeah.
Never happened. I think it's brilliant. I still think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But then here's another one, and I don't even know, maybe I don't even feel like I should tell this one because if you do take this one, I'm coming after you. On a golf cart, when you have a push golf cart, all right, you have a push golf cart, and on the top of the handle is a little round thing with a screw hole in it where you would put your umbrella if it's raining, okay. So it attaches. So we're discussing this. A lot of people get mad when they golf. They hit a bad shot, they get mad. So we were thinking of taking a speed bag, you know, boxing, a little speed bag, a miniature one, you know, maybe 6 inches high, and screw that in there. So when you had a bad shot, you could punch the speed bag and not offend anybody and get rid of your anger and your stress.
Yeah.
You wouldn't wreck a club, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my next adventure. That won't happen.
But you have to believe, John.
I think it's a good one. I think it's a very good one. It's a good way to, you know, get rid of your angers. Hit a punching bag.
That's true. Coming up.
How about if you're, that would be a good question of the week. Tell us an invention that you created that maybe didn't take off.
Yeah.
That would be very good.
Have to be careful.
I'm so impressed with your teacher. What was her name?
Mrs. Knick.
Is she still with us?
I have no idea.
That's beautiful, getting people to think.
Coming up, we're going to hear a story from National Public Radio on, they're going to talk with Goo Goo Dolls frontman John Resnick about his new album.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm A. Martinez. Recently, I got to chat with the voice behind one of the most recognizable hooks in music. And I I don't think that they'd understand That, of course, is John Resnick, the frontman for the band The Goo Goo Dolls, one of the most prolific alternative rock groups in the last 40 years. But even after 14 studio albums and nearly a dozen platinum and gold singles combined, the boys from Buffalo, New York aren't done. They have a new EP out today titled Summer Anthem, and John Resnick took some time during the band's sold-out summer tour to talk about it. John, a couple of songs caught my ear in this new EP, but I want to start with one titled Nothing Lasts Forever. All right, so even just the title, John, Nothing Lasts Forever, and I'm thinking about you, you're about to turn 60. And yeah, well, no, but you know, it's fine, but you've also spent 40 years at the same company.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm wondering, I mean, is this a hint, Nothing Lasts Forever, you're about to turn 60? I mean, that sounds like a retirement age kind of statement to me.
I wish it was, but it was just more about the transient nature of our relationships and life. I mean, it's like, life just seems to be moving so much quicker than it was when I was 30 or 40.
I turned 50 a few years ago, and I've always said this. I've said that to other people that I've interviewed. I never heard the clock tick until I turned 50. Do you hear it too?
Oh, yeah. I have an 8-year-old, and like watching her grow up so fast, it just gives me pause. You know, I don't know where all the time has gone.
I know your parents both died in their early 50s, and now at 59, you've outlived both of them.
Yeah, well, that freaks me out. And until I got myself cleaned up and got sober and that, I was living as though I'm just going to drink myself to death, because that seemed to be a family tradition, you know.
Did that change anything about your songwriting, about what you wanted to do with your career and your music?
I just felt like at my age, it's like you better find something to say that I feel is relevant and that my audience relates to. That's the most important thing. And we'll burn so bright, 'cause we're still alive. And on this long, lonely mile, we gotta run all night, gotta run all night. I don't feel like I'm in the music business anymore. Because, you know, we've been around for so long. We're a legacy band in a lot of ways, even though we're still releasing new material. And it feels like I'm releasing material for myself and for my audience. I'm not trying to have big hit songs on the radio or whatever. You know, I put the music out for our fans and our audience, you know, because it's like, it ain't getting rich doing that anymore.
Were you putting out or trying to put out hits before? I mean,
No. It was never that contrived. You know, it was just sort of like I would sit and play guitar and play guitar and play guitar for hours and days, and then I'd be like, yeah, check out my new hit song. You know, I used to joke about that before I had ever had a hit.
You mentioned that you don't feel like you're in the music industry. Do you think you left it? It left you?
Well, I think technology and the shift in the way people become famous. My band at the end of the 80s got in a van and drove around the country, and we were playing in crappy little punk rock bars for years. And it took me years to evolve as a writer to get to the point where I could write something like Name or Iris or whatever. And I don't believe the younger artists are given that much time. They have to hit immediately or they're just discarded. They can't find their own identity. I remember being told this. If you're going to do this, leave something behind that you're going to be proud of. And that takes time.
What do you want your daughter to kind of know about you, you know, when she's like 30 or 40 and looks back on her dad's career?
I want her to look back on my career and admit finally that for a brief moment in time, her dad was cool. That's all I want. You know?
I've heard that in concerts, you use a different guitar for practically every song. Is that true? And if it's true, why do you do that?
Yes, it's absolutely out of necessity, because I took a couple of guitar lessons, and I don't know all the chords. Like, you could say to me, can you play a D add nine, blah, blah, whatever it is. I'm just like, No, I cannot. I don't understand what you're talking about. You know, but I thought about taking guitar lessons, and I'm just like, you know what? It's too late. I'm always going to sound like me no matter what. It's done okay for me. I've done all right. So
I can totally picture a guitar teacher somewhere. You walk into their studio and like say, hey, I need guitar lessons. They're looking at you and they recognize you and say, don't you already play?
Yeah, but I'll be like, no, but I play all wrong and I'd like to learn. But I kind of dig feeling around in the dark. I love experimenting. I still try to find some kind of sound that maybe I haven't done before. Something. I want to find something.
So, John, you know, you mentioned earlier how at this point you're playing for yourself and you're playing for your fans. And, you know, I'm sure your fans listen to Summer Anthem and they're going to be fine with what they hear. They're going to love it. You're giving them what they want to hear. Is that enough for you now?
Yeah. Yeah. I've had an unbelievable. I mean, Jesus, man, go back and look at our track record. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like more than I ever thought would happen. More than a lot of our peers. You know, I got to do it the way I wanted to.
That is John Resnick of the band Goo Goo Dolls. The new EP is titled Summer Anthem. John, thank you very much for the time.
I really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
This is NPR News.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Like a rough stretch going on there. It's the morning show coming up. What's coming up at 9 o'clock, Jennifer?
Headwaters with DJ Dang, and 10 o'clock, Minnesota Mixtape with Malachi Coons. And then 1 o'clock, we are live from the Minnesota State Fair. Visit Kari and Malachi at the Education Building. Look for the Ampers booth there. They'll be broadcasting live from 1 to 4 with On the River.
We receive support from the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, open Wednesdays and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the intersection of Golf Course Road and Pacagama Avenue, offering EBT double match and many programs, many more programs bringing produce to members of our community. More at GR Farm.